Hi, my name is Alicia. I'm an addict and alcoholic. Hey. How's everyone doing tonight? Yeah. Whew, there's a lot of people up here. It's not what I was expecting. Blake told me it's going to be like 10 to 15 people. And then I showed up and then he said, by the way, it's about 60 people. It's an alumni event. You're going to be recorded and we're inviting everyone from your job. So, yeah, lovely me. Yeah, so as Angie was saying, man, like when I came to treatment, and when I first started getting sober, I was just like filled with anger. You know what I mean? Like I didn't really want to get sober, to be honest with you. Like that wasn't my intention. I was really just tired of feeling the way that I felt. You know what I mean? Like I went to treatment to change the way I feel because I was so miserable and drugs and alcohol had stopped working, you know, and then getting sober was a byproduct of that through the steps. You know, and I can remember like sitting in these chairs at these H&Is and these people would come out to talk and I'd be like, you know, not again, you know, and I would just be so filled with anger because I didn't know any other way, you know. So let's start off with, I guess, a little bit kind of about my childhood. So I was born in Texas to mom and dad. I grew up by a single mom. I remember when I was growing up, I always felt like super isolated, you know, always kind of felt like I didn't really fit in. Didn't necessarily have the best home life, and I used that as an excuse for many, many years to keep doing what I was doing and keep getting high. And man, I remember I never really felt like I had a place. You know, I always felt kind of different. You know, I remember my family, you know, they treated me differently for a long time, you know, because I was the byproduct of an interracial marriage, and that wasn't really accepted, you know, in Oklahoma where I grew up. And I used that as an excuse for a long time to put myself down as an excuse to keep using, you know. And so growing up, I can just always kind of remember the separation that I felt, you know what I mean? And so as I got older, I was always like seeking out where I belonged. You know what I mean? Like I was always seeking for some type of love, some type of acceptance, some type of happiness in all these different people and all these different places, you know? And I just always kind of felt like there was this void in me and I just didn't really know quite how to fill it, you know? And I tried everything. And when I was younger, it was through people, it was through sports, it was through schools, it was through trying to be liked, you know? And then as I got older, it started to be through drugs and alcohol, you know? And then when I first found drugs and alcohol, that was the first time that I actually felt like, you know, like that sigh of relief, that acceptance, that love that I had always been wanting. I felt like I had finally found it, you know? God. And I just remember, you know, thinking like, okay, this is it. I found like my calling, if you will. And so off I went, you know, cause to me it was like the greatest thing, you know? And I was one of those people, you know, that kind of used everything, addictively. From when I first tried it, whether it was weed, alcohol, cocaine, you know, I found it, I was in love with it, and I was like, oh yeah, this is for me. You know what I mean? Like, this is what I'm about, you know? And I had all these, like, ideals growing up of, like, who I wanted to be, what I wanted to do, these principles that I thought, that's who I'm going to be, that's who I want to be. I was like, I'm going to be successful, I'm going to be a caring woman, I'm going to live life based on integrity. I'm going to be successful, my family's going to be proud of me. And I really wanted that. You know what I mean? Like I always really wanted those things. But then once I started to put drugs and alcohol in my body, I wasn't able to live up to them. So for a long time, like I thought that that's who I was. What I did when I was fucked up, like I thought that's who I was. And I didn't understand that like even though I'm a child of God and like I'm a good person and I'm all these beautiful things, right? Loving, compassionate, caring, that just when you put something in my body, I can't live up to it no matter how many times I want to. So it became a never ending cycle of doing this shit when I was fucked up and feeling all the shame and embarrassment and guilt the next day and then trying to use to chase those feelings away. And getting more fucked up and doing more fucked up shit and then trying to use again the next day to chase it away. And I could never step back and look at and realize like that's not who I am. Yeah, so my using and drinking really progressed when I was in high school. I think I was really searching in a lot of ways for like who I was. And it led me down a lot of dark paths and a lot of dark avenues that I never thought that like I would be there. Like if you would have asked me like when I was a kid growing up, who do you want to be? What do you want to do with your life? I would have never thought what I was going to do was what was in store for me. And so, yeah, I went down all these different avenues, right? And I always drew like the line in the sand throughout my using career. You know what I'm saying? I'll be like, oh, I'm never gonna sell my body for drugs and alcohol. Okay. Well, when push came to shove and I needed to get high, I was willing to step over that line, right? I'm never going to steal from my family. I'm never going to hurt them. When push came to shove, I was going to step over that line, right? And I was constantly drawing these little lines in the sand, constantly at first trying to put these like rules around my using or my drinking, because it comforted me, made me think that I was in control and then I had some sort of power. And then whenever I would step over them, I would just draw a new one and be like, oh no, but this one was okay because of this, this, and that. Like the rationale behind it was crazy. And everyone in my life could see I was delusional but me. Because to me, it was so normal. I just didn't, it didn't seem out of the realm of possibilities. And so as my using progressed, I just felt a sense of like hopelessness and desperation that I can't even explain to y'all. Like, I can remember going to pick up and just crying because I wanted to quit so bad. I hated the person that was like staring at me in the mirror. It's not the person I wanted to be, and it's not the person that I was, but I didn't know how to get out of that. And I can just remember wanting so bad to just want to change. I just wanted to put the drugs and the alcohol down so fucking bad because they were ruining my life and they were ruining me, and it was killing me, but I didn't know how. And like, it was scary to think like, what does life look like without this? I had been doing it for so long. Like, what does it look like? I was scared to even feel any type of emotion. But man, God's wonderful. God really is. And he'll save you every day if you ask for it. And so I was constantly in and out of these treatment centers seeking some type of solution, wanting to get clean, but at the same time, like having these reservations because I really still didn't want to give up using completely. And I always wanted to do things my way. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, okay, I'll get clean, but like, I'm going to pick and choose what I want to do to get clean because I know what's best because I can't stop shooting dope. So like, let me go ahead and continue to pick and choose what I think I need to do. And I would continue to go out every single time and I couldn't understand it. And every other time before this time, y'all, when I tried to get clean, this is the first time I've worked the steps. This is the first time I've ever tried the program. And every other time I would try everything but the steps in order to get clean. And every other time I tried to get clean, I was miserable. Personally, you know what I mean? I had no sense of fulfillment, no sense of happiness. I just was like, if this is what sobriety holds for me, I don't want anything to do with it. Because the loneliness and the lack of happiness was still always there and it was always present. And I couldn't understand why. And for a long time, like this program, the action they wanted you to take, the word God, I was like, no, thank you. I'm good. Until I got to a place one day to where I didn't care anymore. I was willing to do whatever it took if I could just stop feeling this way inside. And so, I've tried moving states. I moved to Dallas to where I didn't know anyone. And I've done Vivitrol maintenance, Suboxone maintenance, methadone, anything that you can think of, I've tried to try to get this feeling to go away. And it would just, I could never believe it. Can never get away from that sense of doom, if you will. And so, I remember when I moved to Dallas, right? I was like, okay, this is it. This is really the time. I'm going to make it this time. But I was dry. I didn't do any work. I was not building a connection with my higher power. I had no sense of fulfillment and I was miserable. So I went right back out to using. So what happens when I use, y'all, is I can't put it down. Once I put that shit in my body, I can't stop. And then all those feelings of like the guilt, the shame, the remorse, all that stuff just comes flooding back in. And I couldn't get over it. And so I end up getting into this, caught in this cycle again. To where, okay, now I was back to prostituting. I was back to stealing from the people I love, back from hurting everyone that cared about me. And I couldn't figure out how to get out of it. Because I would wake up and I'd be sober for a second and I'd be like, man, I really am tired of this fucking life. I'm tired of living this way and I'm tired of what comes with it and I'm ashamed of who I am right now. But then I'd go right back to using because I wanted to chase those feelings away. And it was just never ending, never ending. And so what ended up happening was my mom, who I love very much, right? She raised me as a single mom. Like I told you, she was really close, right? She was kind of like the only one that accepted me throughout my life. And she was always there for me. I don't know about y'all, but I had a very enabling parent. She always wanted to save me. She never wanted me to hit rock bottom. You know, I got in trouble. She was right there with the bail money, right there with trying to help me get a lawyer, right there. You know what I mean? She was always trying to help me because she cared about me. Well, what ended up happening is she ended up passing away when I was in my addiction. And it broke me. It absolutely broke me. And I remember going up to the hospital to see her after she had passed. And And I was sitting there and the doctors were giving me all of her belongings and I hadn't slept in a few days. I was still pretty messed up. I was out of it. And I was sitting there and I just had like this sense of like, man, I wish I could go back and I wish I could like fix my life and do it completely differently. And I remember, y'all, I remember they said, they gave me her phone. And I was trying to figure out how to get into her phone, right? I couldn't figure out the password or any of that stuff. And I was just sitting there and I was just praying. And I hadn't prayed in a very long time. I wasn't a big fan of religion or God or higher power. I turned my nose up at it for a long time. But I was praying this time. And I was just praying for God to help me and to kind of show me the way. And I got this thought, y'all. I was like, well, what? Why don't you try your birthday? Maybe by some coincidence, some craziness, it might be your birthday. And I put my birthday in and it unlocked the phone. And for me, looking back on it, like it's what the book talks about when we pray and we have these intuitive thoughts and we know internally like the right decision and choice to make. And I wish I could tell y'all that instances like those were enough to make me want to get sober, but they weren't. What happened as soon as I did that was I was like, man, I need to change the way I feel. I need to go pick up. And so right back off, I was to the dope man's house immediately right afterwards. And like looking at that now, like that's not who I am. At all. And it's never who I was meant to be. But those are the things I do when I put drugs and alcohol in my body. So I continue to use for about another month and a half, 2 months. And man, it was just miserable. It was absolutely miserable. I mean, I had finally gotten to this place and I'd been at this place for a while, but it was really real now to where it didn't matter how fucked up I got, no matter what I put in my body, like there was no sense of ease and comfort. You know what I mean? Like that feeling was gone. I couldn't get any relief anymore. And so I finally decided to go to treatment and try to do something new because I had just gotten tired, so tired. And so I went to treatment and like I said, I didn't go there because I wanted to get sober. I just didn't know what else to do. I just wanted to change the way I felt. And I just had such a powerful experience with the work, guys. And it moved me to want to be sober and want to carry this message and want to help other people. And I had just never felt that before. And so, yeah, it just moved me to, like, want to help people. And, like, finally I was able to start seeing God work throughout my life. I was never able to see that before. I always thought it was a coincidence or I just kind of wrote it off, but I was never really able to see God work in my life. You know, and I had these moments in treatment where I was just willing to do whatever they said, if it meant change the way I feel. That doesn't mean that I still wouldn't bitch and complain and moan and throw a fit because it's not what Alicia wanted to do, but I still did it at the end of the day. And I would always seek God continuously throughout because I didn't know what else to do, and that's what they told me to do. And so I remember being in treatment and seeking God and trying to change my life. And I can just remember instances where I could like feel God's presence, you know, and I could see God speaking to me through other people and trying to help me and constantly reaching out to me. And at the time I couldn't see it, but looking back, I realized now that that was God. I can remember being in treatment, guys, and I was having a really hard time with meditation and I wanted to leave really badly. And I don't know about y'all, but like if you ever take someone off dope or meth or whatever your thing is for the first time and try to have them meditate every morning, it never goes good. You know what I mean? It's really hard to sit still. And so I was struggling with meditation. I wanted to leave. So I just remember like I was constantly praying for God to show me a sign and like help me out. And so I remember praying and asking God to like give me a sign and help me out because I just didn't know what to do. And so as I was in this treatment center, I had ordered a book because I was always looking for ways to change the way I felt and not focus on where I was at and not focus on what I was feeling. And so I ordered this book. And it came in the middle of me struggling to be there and struggling with meditation and wanting to leave. When I went to open the book, y'all, it was this book right here. They sent me the wrong book. And so I remember I got this wrong book, and I was pissed at first. I was so fucking pissed because I wanted to focus on something else besides this damn step work they were having me do every day. And it was this book right here, and it was a meditation book, y'all. And it was a meditation book on dealing with grief. And this was, like I said, about 2 months after my mom had passed. And it's called Healing After Loss. And man, if that's not God working in my life, like, I don't know what is. Because what happens is God will answer my prayers every time. It may just not be in the way that I want it to be answered. Because I expect for when I'm asking for these things, for God to, like, part the heavens and give me what I want. Or if I'm praying for, like, patience and compassion and all this stuff, that all of a sudden I'm going to be able to be patient and compassionate. And that's just, that, in my experience, that's not how it works. What happens is I pray and God gifts me with the opportunity to be able to learn and demonstrate what I'm asking for. And so here I was struggling, wanting to leave and just praying for God to show me a sign and help me out. And he answered me. It, she, whatever you want to call it, answered me through this book, telling me it's going to be okay, keep going. But I was asleep to that stuff before. And so it was just little miracles like that that happened like throughout my life where I was doing the work that just gave me the motivation to keep on going. And then eventually, man, like I found like a sense of hope that I had never felt anywhere before. I always just felt like I was never going to be anything, you know, and I always thought that like what I did in my addiction was who I was, and I was never going to be able to overcome that and do anything in my life. I would always tell myself shit like, oh, you're a high school dropout. Oh, you're a convicted felon. Oh, you've suffered all this abuse. Oh, X, Y, and Z, and that's who you are. And I never had any hope that I was going to be anything more than that. And at this place, I finally found that. I finally was able to connect to some hope and realize that, like, that may have been, like, what I've done and, like, what I've gone through, but that's not who I am, and it's not who I have to be. And I finally found like a sense of happiness and fulfillment that I was never able to find anywhere else. And I only found that through doing the work and like seeking connection with my higher power. And so I don't know about y'all, but for a long time and still now I'll get in this delusion that sobriety is supposed to mean I'm supposed to be happy all the time. And it's supposed to look a certain way and it's supposed to feel a certain way. And if I'm sober and connected to God, then nothing bad's going to happen. And I'm never going to feel bad. And then I'll start to stray from God whenever things get hard and whenever I'm not feeling so good. And I'll start to doubt and lack that faith and trust in God. And what happens is that fear, it'll start to drive me for a little bit, but I have two options. I can either let it drive me closer to the work and do what I'm supposed to do, or I can let it drive me farther and farther away from my higher power and my connection until I eventually go out and use. And my ego will creep back in every time, and it'll tell me like how it's supposed to look. What sobriety is supposed to look like, how it's supposed to feel. And it makes me miserable every time I get into that stuff. And so I remember too, like when they were telling us, like, you have to make an amends to the people you hate, and you have to really just do your best and your utmost to clean up your past and do the best you can. I balked at that. And it's so funny because it's like, I think about it and I think about all the shit I did to stay well. And I never balked at any of that. When it came time for me to do what I had to do to stay well, I did whatever I needed to. There was no hesitation, no second thought. And then when I get sober and you tell me I have to do a few things in order to stay well, in order to be sober and be happy and live a fulfilled life, then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, a nightly? Every night? Every single night? You know, you want me to wake up earlier for meditation? You know what I'm saying? Like, all of a sudden, my ego kicks in and my entitlement comes back. I'm like, oh, no, that's too much. That's too much. You know what I mean? And I forget that this program is saving my life, and I forget, like, how bad stuff was before that. You know? I forget that feeling of desperation and hopelessness I had when I came in and just how bad I was. And I balk at that stuff. And so I remember, like, very clearly when I got sober, you know, they had been telling me I had to make an amends to my family. This family who in my mind had treated me so wrong, who had isolated me and not accepted me and wasn't there for me through all this shit and just, you know, threw me to the wolves and all this shit I was telling myself. I was like, you want me to make an amends to them? To them? And I was just like, no, absolutely not. Because what happened was like a part of my ego and my sickness, it wanted to hold on to that resentment. It wanted to hold on to that anger. It wanted to feel righteous, that righteous self-anger. It didn't want to fade. And so my sponsor was like, Alicia, this is just something you have to do. Like, if you want to continue to stay sober and grow spiritually and stay well, this is what you have to do, regardless of if you want to or not, regardless of if you like it or not. And so when I went into it, I really didn't know what to expect. I can tell you I wasn't that, like, you know, ecstatic about it, but I was willing to do it. And that experience was one of the most life-changing, powerful experiences like I've ever had in sobriety. Here I have like these family members who I had despised and wanted to hold on to this anger for so long, way before I even started using. But I was willing to invite God into that and go in and take action upon it. And as soon as I did, man, all of that anger and hatred and misunderstanding and all of that resentment, it just melted away. And I had such a deeper understanding of love and my connection with God and like what forgiveness meant, not just for them, but for myself. Because for so long, it's like, I wanted to run from that stuff. And I thought it was because I was angry at them and I wanted nothing to do with them. But really, it was because I was scared to look those people in the eye and take responsibility for what I had done. And as soon as I was able to do that, man, I was able to move so much more closer to God. And it was just one of the most beautiful experiences I've ever had. And now I have these family members that I keep in touch with on a pretty regular basis that before, if you would have asked me, I would have been like, I wouldn't have even have gone to their funeral if they died. And now we're able to communicate and have a deeper love and understanding for one another. And if that's not God working in my life, man, I don't know what is. And so slowly and surely, like, as I continued to do the work, these promises started to come true. And the biggest one for me isn't getting the job, isn't having a place to stay, isn't the money I have or any of this stuff. The biggest promise that I've been able to experience in sobriety is just a sense of happiness, fulfillment. Like I can get out of bed in the morning and look myself in the mirror and be okay with who I am today and take pride in that and take pride in what I'm doing and who I am. And like even before here, my ego starts to get wrapped up and I start to think about like, this is what sobriety is supposed to look like. This is what recovery is supposed to look like. And I get driven into fear and I just think about like, man, how beautiful is it that we can all sit in here and like try to get well together? You know what I mean? Because like if you would have, probably any person in this room, like before we came here, we probably would have been just more concerned about how we could plot on each other and get one over. Like I wasn't concerned with what you had to say. I was concerned with how could you serve me and what could you do for me. And the fact that we can all sit in this room, man, and just like listen to try to hear a common solution and truth and love and try to get better, like that's beautiful. It's so beautiful. And if you would have told me I would have ever found something like this, I wouldn't have believed you. I would have been like, no, you're absolutely wrong. But the gifts that this program like instills in us is just, it's moving. I can't even explain it to you guys. But I had to continue to do the work because what will happen is I'll start to get stagnant in my sobriety. All of a sudden, I'm going through the motions because I'm told like I have to go through the motions. But my attitude is shit, and I start to wonder why I start to get kind of miserable and why it's not feeling like it did when I first got sober. And it's because my attitude is wrong towards doing it, and I start to let my entitlement cut me off from my higher power. I start to let my entitlement cut me off from my connection and the experience that I could be having. Because I'm like, oh, I have to do this again. And in reality, like, my life is fucking great today. It may not be what Alicia wants all the time, but I can look myself and I don't get followed when I go into stores anymore, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I can feel good about myself. I can help another person, but my entitlement gets in the way and then I stray farther and farther from my connection and like what I'm supposed to be doing. And I can choose to do one of two things. I can go back to God with it and back to the program, or I continue to stray farther and farther away until eventually I go back out. I can tell y'all I haven't been through the program in and out. Like I said, this is my first time working the steps. And man, I don't think I could stray from like this connection I felt. And maybe I will, you know, you never know. I don't see like if we work the steps and we do what we're supposed to do and take the attitude that we're supposed to take when doing it, it's impossible to go back out. Right? But it all comes down to doing the work. Am I doing the work? Is it consistent? And how's my attitude when doing it? And if I can check all three of those boxes, I'm never going to fail. I'm sorry, my mind is going completely blank. I knew this is going to happen. But that's okay, because like I'm sober today and like I love myself and I can look myself in the mirror. And like that's just such a blessing, you know, at the end of the day. Like if that's one thing, if the biggest thing I've gotten out of this program is that. And so, yeah, and so God just speaks through me, through people, through doing stuff, you know, through anything and everything if I'm open and I'm aware enough to see it, you know. But I have to be willing to see it, and I have to be willing to do the work in order to see it. Like, my eyes weren't open to God and what God was doing in my life until I did the work. That was the only ways my eyes became open. I was able to see God working and see what life had to hold for me. because before that, all I could see was a negative in life and like how shit wasn't fair and oh, poor me. And this is what it's supposed to look like. And this is what I'm supposed to get from it. And I couldn't get out of that. I had to be willing to take some direction and do some shit I didn't want to do in order to open my eyes and heart to God. And eventually, like through time, I was able to let go of the past, let go of what I had done, let go of who I thought I was, and really experience a whole deeper meaning of life and love and these connection with people. Like what Angie was saying, like whenever I first came in, I was so scared to let anyone get to know me or show me any type of love or have any type of connection with anyone. Because I was so used to being used and hurt and taken advantage of, probably because I was so busy trying to use and hurt and take advantage of others to get what I wanted. And so whenever I was able to finally put that to the side and like humble myself and really say, you know what, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm trying. And just try, because that's all you can do at the end of the day is just try. And you're like, you're going to fail. And I failed multiple times, but being able to take that in stride and say, you know what, that's okay, because I know that I'm always going to be okay. And that I'm always going to be able to love myself. And I'm always going to be able to go back to the work and be able to try to make it. And at the end of the day, like I'm sober throughout it all. And so when I got out, and even now, like I was saying, like I get in this delusion that like recovery and like sobriety, like it's going to feel good all the time. And I'm going to have this sense of happiness all the time. And I put these restrictions on God. Do you know what I mean? Like I put God in the box. I think that if I don't feel a certain way or if my life doesn't look a certain way, then obviously my connection is shit or God isn't working for me. And that's just not the case. I just have to get out of my own way and let God be able to work in my life. And just the fact that like we can sit across from one another and try to help each other stay sober, like that is one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in my life. Because before that, like all we were worried about is what we could get out of one another. And the fact that I can sit there and try to help you and my motives are genuine because I really care about you and I really want to help you and you can sit right across from me and do the same thing is something that I've never been able to experience before getting in this program, y'all. And it's something that has really helped shape me into the woman that I know like God always meant for me to be. But I had to be willing to let go of my past and I had to be willing to like do the work in order to get to that place. This stuff doesn't come. It doesn't come if we want it. It doesn't come if we need it. It comes if we're willing to do it. And I had to learn how to put my thoughts and my feelings to the side and continue to take action no matter what. It's someone's phone. Right, because once I start getting caught up and I feel like I don't want to do this today, Taylor. Jeez, Taylor, what a ruin it. And so, well, I love Taylor. And so once I get caught up, right, and getting in this thought process, like, oh, I don't want to do this today. And I start relying on my feelings to do my program. Or I start thinking like, oh, I don't think I need to do this. And I start letting my brain and my feelings get in the way of taking action. And then I start to get this place again where I'm like, I don't know what's going on in life. Why am I in collision with everyone? Why can't things work out? Why is this going wrong? It's like, because I'm always getting in my own way. I like to tell myself that other people are getting in my way, but that's just not the case. It's always me. Anytime I look at it, it's always me. I'm always getting in my own way to succeed, y'all. Because the truth is like when I'm good with God and my connection is there and I'm experiencing the promises of this program, no one or anything can bother me because I'm always internally okay. But I like to cut it off because I like to think that I need to manage my own life still sometimes and I need to make things look a certain way and I need to be a certain way and I need people to perceive me a certain way and I need to be at a certain amount of success in my life. I need to accomplish certain things. So then I get away from what I'm supposed to do in order to try to get that. And then I find myself in collision with everyone around me and I have to look at like, what am I really doing? And sometimes too, I'll even still think that I'm taking the glory, I'll take the glory away from my higher power and I'll get in this delusion that like it's me that did this and it's me that's continuing to do this. And I forget that, I forget I couldn't even manage my own life when I came in here. And the only thing that did this for me was God. But I'm so quick to forget that sometimes. And so if you guys can get anything from what I'm saying, I really hope it's just really please put what you think you know to like to the side. And just be willing to have an experience with the work and with God. Because in my experience, the profound sense of hope I experienced when I was in treatment this last time gave me the faith to go through the rest of the work. Gave me the faith to be able to trust in God and do what was laid out in front of me. And then that gave me a different and deeper experience with God. And then that gave me the passion and encouragement and motivation to go and try to carry that to other people. And y'all, I fall short every time. Or not every time, but I fall short quite often, right, of carrying the message and demonstrating principles. But I'm willing to look at that and take it back to God and continue to try to grow. Guess what? Like, there's going to be times where you get up here, like right now, and you get nervous. You know what I mean? And you're all over the place. And you're like, what am I doing? What am I doing? What am I doing? But you know what? You're like, you're doing your best, and that's all right. But as long as that motivation is there to like to go back to God and try to carry the message, that's really all you can do. And that's what saves my life every single time. And like, don't be scared to open up and get vulnerable and let people see you for who you really are. That's okay if people see you fall. Let them help you back up. That's what this program is about. Because the old me before, like I was so concerned, and I'll even get in this sometimes still, I'm so concerned with how people perceive me. I won't want you to see me fall. I don't want you to try to help stretch and grow me spiritually. But like, let those people in and let those people try to help you. Because in return, you're going to be able to turn around and do the same thing for someone else that's struggling. And that's so beautiful to me. So I want to read you guys something that I read before coming here. Because I was super nervous before coming here with so many people. So we did this meditation before I came in. I read something out of this meditation book that I had gotten in treatment that I was telling you guys about. And I think that it really spoke to me tonight, so I wanted to read it to y'all. It's a little just quote down at the bottom. It says, "As I begin to see beyond the pain, I sense how both sadness and joy are part of the tapestry of my life." And so, even though you look back and you see like all the sadness and pain that you've been through throughout your life, know that there's so much joy and hope ahead. And that's okay that sadness and pain is there, because eventually you'll be able to use that to help someone else and be able to help give people this feeling of encouragement and motivation in their life instead of letting it define who you are. Because I know I did that for a long time. I used to let it define who I was and who I thought I was going to be for the rest of my life. And like now I realize that that's not who I am. Those are things that I went through and things that I did, but I can finally use that to help someone else. So I really appreciate you guys being respectful and coming out and listening to me talk. So thank you guys so much.